Chapter 5. Jared's Cot. No. That was it. One word. A non-negotiable syllable. No, Jared said again. His supervisor looked at him in disbelief, unsure if he had really just heard a rookie Customs and Border Protection officer refuse a direct order. Yes, he had. He definitely had. The peon, 5'0", 26-year-old Jared Daryagian, looked even younger than normal as he sat across from his older, rotund director, like a kid sitting in a principal's office, his legs swinging back and forth in the chair, his feet never coming close to the floor. Jared didn't feel he had much to lose with the answer. Customs and Border Protection wasn't exactly his dream job. He had ended up here only because he didn't have a choice if he was going to pursue his dream of working in law enforcement. Either he continued to work in the movie theater down in Lincolnshire, or he could come to Chicago O'Hare and stamp people's passports for a living. Jared had tried to get into the Secret Service, his dreamiest dream job, but the examiner, an American as they come questions and answers man, had probed Jared about his father, a sitting U.S. judge of Armenian extraction who had fled Syria during the genocide years earlier. At first, Jared had answered politely, but few things could rile him up as much as doubts about his family's allegiance to America. Needless to say, after a heated debate, he didn't get the job. Soon afterward, Jared had applied to the DEA, but he'd gotten into another overwrought debate with the polygraph tester over what constitutes a crime. He didn't get that job either. The U.S. Marshals Service, Department of Homeland Security, and Federal Bureau of Investigation all said no to Jared because he didn't have a degree. He had dropped out of college after 2 weeks, with no patience for being judged by professors, and even less tolerance for the time their classes demanded. Besides, what was the point of 4 years of school when most of the people he knew who had gone through college still couldn't get a real job? He walked off campus one afternoon and never went back. At the behest of his father, Samuel, who had once run the agency overseeing Customs and Border Protection, Jared settled for the most monotonous government job, stamping passports day after day. His hope was that this gig would lead to something bigger and better, which it had, but as he challenged his supervisor with that repeatedly uttered no, it was becoming obvious that, as per usual, Jared was starting to piss everyone off. This particular debacle had started a year earlier, in late 2007. After a few dull years on the passport line, Jared had been given the opportunity to try to find people smuggling drugs into the United States. Catching drug smugglers sounded like fun and sexy work, but not with the kind of drugs that Jared had been tasked with finding. His quest was to catch people who were sneaking a speed-like substance called cot into America. Unlike similar drugs, such as cocaine, which were processed in a lab or jungle somewhere, cot was a leafy green plant, and therefore more difficult to identify than large bricks of white powder. Since it was so mild, more akin to drinking some intense coffee than snorting a line of blow, cot was also the least important drug for anyone in government to go after. But Jared assumed the task of finding cot with the same fanatical compulsion as someone assigned to capture the world's most evil terrorists. He printed out hundreds of flight logs of people who had been caught with cot in the past, laid all the documents out on his living room floor as if he were Carrie Matheson on Homeland, and searched for similarities among known smugglers. He scrutinized every detail of each arrest until he found a pattern. The first clue? All of the smugglers had booked reservations the day before a flight. Second, the couriers used only Gmail or Yahoo email accounts. And third, they had, obviously fake, phone numbers that used a shared formula. With these hints and others, he searched through the list of incoming passengers arriving at O'Hare who fit his profile. Eventually, he identified an inbound passenger who he believed would be smuggling the drug. The following day, customs officials pulled that man off an incoming flight, opened his suitcase, and discovered it was lined with cot. Holy shit, it worked. The same thing happened each subsequent time Jared ran his search on the incoming Chicago passenger database. They pulled cot out of the bag. Jared's profiling worked so well that he started to search through the national databases, experimenting with his theory on other U.S. airports. And sure enough, it worked every time. Customs officials at JFK would be told about a target, at which point they would open the suitcases of the passenger Jared had identified, and subsequently find bags of the drug hidden in socks, shirts, and other crevices of the luggage. But there were a couple of snags, not the least of which was that JFK agents believed that cot was a pointless drug to go after in the first place. There were no nightly news briefings about officials finding a pound of cot on a flight from the United Kingdom, and no awards being handed out to customs officers for these arrests. To make matters worse, Jared's success made other agents look ineffective by comparison. Not getting credit on a bust meant you couldn't climb the bureaucratic ladder to increase your pay and vacation time. And after enough unofficial complaints had come in, Jared was called into his supervisor's office. "You have to play by the rules if you want to be successful here," Jared's supervisor said. "You're pissing off people all over the place, and..." "No," Jared interrupted. Again? Another no? What the fuck was wrong with this guy? "Look, I'm just doing my job," Jared tried to reason. "I'm following the trends, and..." "Yes, but you're doing your job out of your jurisdiction," the boss barked. "You're assigned to Chicago, and that's all you're supposed to do. Find shit in Chicago." Jared didn't do well when he was told what to do, and his temper was starting to flare. He had been given an assignment that he had pulled off in spades, but because of typical government bullshit, he was being told he was doing a less effective job. Shouldn't he be getting praise and applause? "You see this?" Jared said, pointing to the gold and black Customs and Border Protection, CBP, badge clipped to his shirt. "The last time I looked, it said the United States of America on it, and I'm pretty sure that JFK Airport is in the United States of America." The supervisor looked back at Jared in shock. But the peon kept going. "I won't talk to you about this in person anymore," Jared said, as he stood up and walked toward the door. "If you want to discuss this again, please put it in writing." And in one brief moment, the supervisor had just learned a lesson that everyone who met Jared eventually learned. He didn't play well with others. A trait of Jared's that would soon prove to be his biggest asset, and his most antagonistic hindrance.